Following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
When we launched into this month, this is our last of a series for January on waiting on the Lord, that we made a determination that we are going to be a people who respond to the invitation to wait on Him, which was not my favorite thing. That was not the word that I was looking for January, but it has become my favorite thing because it has been such a precious time for me. It's exactly what Luke prophesied this morning. It's stirred such a desire in me for who God is and to know Him well and to separate any other thing that I could possibly have any trust in has fallen away in this moment. It has fallen away as I've chosen to just wait on Him. And I'm believing that that same thing is happening for you as you're entering into that in whatever ways that you are. The verse that I felt like the Lord really landed on when we kicked off the series was Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. And we talked about the two doors, that we have a choice in every season, in every circumstance we face. The testimony that Rick just gave, he had a choice. We have a choice of door number one, trusting man, or door number two, trusting God. And I kept it door number two because when I presented it the first time, I used door number two for trusting God. I recognize it should be door number one, but I need to be consistent. So we have a choice on what door we're going to choose. And the word is very clear to us. We don't have to wonder what's going to happen because the word's very clear what's going to happen. If I choose to trust man, here's what's going to happen. If I choose to trust God, this is what's going to happen. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the water, which spreads out its roots by the river, and we will not fear when the heat comes. Its leaf will be green. It will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. It's my favorite. It's my favorite part of the promise. Because my heart as a pastor of this body and my heart as someone that wants to see the larger body of Christ, the bride of Christ, step into the place that she's meant to is for fruitfulness. That is God's heart for us, is for fruitfulness. Fruitfulness for the sake of the kingdom. And here's the promise right here that tells us if we trust in the Lord alone, we will have fruitfulness even in the times of drought. So are we afraid of what's going on in this season? No, we are not. Because we know that we get to bear fruit in the time of drought because we've made a decision about where our trust is in. Are we afraid when Rick's testimony of he time and time again had to say, my trust is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. And I believe that there's going to be fruitfulness for Rick and his ministry in that, as he's chosen that. So this is a season where we need to recognize that for the sake of fruitfulness, there's some things that have to happen that aren't seen out on the branches of the tree in order for that fruitfulness to happen. And I feel like this is a time when the Lord is having us put down some roots into our trust in Him. Because, and I feel like there's another thing happening in us as the body of Christ, and I talk a lot, and I'll try to differentiate. I talk a lot about the larger body of Christ because we are part of a larger body of Christ. But I see it happening for us as well, that there is a maturity being cultivated in us. If I can say anything over this last season with, and I mean about a year now, it's been a really long season, hasn't it? Over this last season, if I can say anything, I can tell you one of the things that the Lord has used this season for is to show me areas in my life that there are immaturities. Fun? No. And sometimes He shows me in front of other people. Mostly it's my husband where He shows me where my immaturities are. That's fun. But But he's showing us these places of immaturity in our lives. Why? So that we can feel bad about ourselves and be ashamed? No, because he has something coming. He has fruitfulness that he's promised for us, and he knows that we can't bear fruit without maturity. What happens to a tree that bears fruit before the roots are really ready? It's like faulty fruit. It doesn't produce much. It actually can kill the tree. So we are coming into a time where I believe we're going to see fruit, but he's saying, I want to make sure that your roots are ready for this. I want to make sure that before something happens more visibly in this next season of fruitfulness, which is going to happen during a time of drought, which means probably we're still going to be in a drought around us, just saying, kind of feels that way, doesn't it? He's, before that happens, my roots need to go deep. And so that's why we're talking about things like knowing how to get into the presence of God. We're talking about things about how to hear the voice of God and really diving into that, because that's what cultivates maturity in our lives. Last week I talked just briefly because I was running out of time, but just talked about now we've had these seasons of where we're going after this with prayer and fasting. Today's the last day. I mean, I could go another week. No, I'm just kidding. But I am celebrating that. I'm celebrating that because the Lord's celebrating that. But as we've pursued this time of prayer and fasting and we've been pressing into him, what his invitation to us now is, can we make this a rhythm? Can we create some new rhythms and some new patterns in our lives? He wants us hearing his voice to be our pattern. He wants us knowing how to get into his presence to be our pattern in our rhythm, because then out of the outworking of that, then there becomes fruitfulness for the sake of the kingdom. Then we begin to, everyone we encounter is getting splashed on by the overflow of what the pattern of our life is. The pattern of my life is becoming to be in the presence of God on a regular basis. So here, you know what's interesting? I'm not sure how long I get to say I'm new, but so I'm new. And what's been interesting is that for me, one of the scariest things about taking on that role is when worship's happening and we're all in this amazing place with God and God's doing amazing things, and then I have to come up here and not wreck it, but transition us to announcements and offering and whatever. And so for me, that's been like the scariest thing about that, this new role for me, is flowing with the Spirit up here. I don't know why it's different, but it is different for me. And so it's scary, and I come up and I go, God, do you even talk to me anymore? And I know it doesn't look that way, but that's how it feels. And so here's what I did during this time of prayer and fasting. I created a new pattern. Did you know that this room is mostly empty during the week? We had it open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Wednesdays, and some people came in and out and prayed during that time, and 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturdays, we had it open for a while, and some people came in and prayed during that time. But for the most part, and Thursday morning, we have prayer for Living Waters. That's a plug. You're all invited. We kind of have a time of just soaking and listening to the Lord at 9:30, and then we start praying at 10. Anyway, other than that, it's mostly empty. So I created a pattern of, instead of praying in my bedroom, which has been my secret place where I can talk to God, and or praying in my office, which is becoming my secret place where I can talk to God, I came and prayed up here so that I have a pattern of hearing the Lord from this place. And do you know that makes it so much easier to transition the service and to know that I can hear the Lord. So what we need to do is we need to have a pattern in our lives of hearing from the Lord all the time. I can make a pattern of hearing from the Lord when I am responding to my kids. They would appreciate that, I'm sure. to hear, so that I'm moving out of the presence and what God's speaking to me and what's needed in the moment. I can create a pattern of hearing from the Lord when I'm at the grocery store and when I'm out and about and when I'm at work. And so my prayer for us is that this habit of getting into His presence and hearing His voice and then walking in what He's asking us to do is now becoming a pattern for us. Can I encourage you, to whatever way, to whatever degree you entered into a time in prayer and fasting with us, that you would ask the Lord, what do you want me to incorporate into my pattern now? If we're not routinely into His Word, that we would begin to have a pattern of getting some of His Word inside of us. My husband created a new pattern. How many of you have seen his Facebook posts in the mornings? A few of you? They've been awesome. It's like been my devotional lately. And he's created a pattern during this time of just sitting in the morning when he first gets up and waiting for the Lord to show him something. Just waiting for the Lord to show him what He wants to show him before he does anything else. And it's been so fruitful. And that's become a pattern for him. It's an awesome way to start the day. So we need to recognize that we can only participate in the work of the Holy Spirit out there and out on the outer branches of my tree where I want my fruit to grow, to the degree that I can participate in the work of the Holy Spirit in here. Do you know what I mean? That there is this secret place work that He's doing, and so He's cultivating that in us. We want to cultivate those patterns of hearing His voice. And here's why it's important. It's important because we need Him in a more ongoing and intense way in the days to come. And we don't need Him in that way because everything's going to be so bad, and it's just, we need Him in that way because He's about to move in this time. That there is a movement coming of awakening that He wants to do. And we're not, this is what I think is interesting about it. I don't believe that it's going to be about events that carry His presence. It's going to be about us living in a pattern of His presence. And that way, then, it's not about events that demonstrate His glory. It's that we have an entire body that is walking in a way that demonstrates His glory. That we are, our lifestyle now is walking in that way. And I believe that that's what the Lord wants to do in this time, that He wants to come and move, and we're going to be walking throughout our day and go, I see Him moving over there, because I have a pattern of cluing in to what it is that the Lord's doing. We need to be able to recognize the movements of God. And I think we need to be careful as we're praying in the move of God, because I believe we've been praying for that. We've been asking Him. But I want to be looking for what He's actually doing. I think sometimes we can be thinking what He's doing, that He's going to move, and it's going to be like an Old Testament movement of God. But He wants to bring a New Testament movement of God. Because when Jesus came, everything changed. Everything changed. God didn't change. His character, His nature didn't change. But the way that He interacts with us changed. The way that He can now come and act on the earth has changed after Jesus came. And so we need to make sure that what we're looking for and what we're asking for is a New Testament move of God, where people get healed and delivered and set free and come to salvation and their hearts get transformed. Where the enemies of God, we just sang about it this morning, the enemies of God, it says, when I was your enemy. A New Testament move of God says the enemies of God become the people of God. Right. Yeah. That's what He's doing on the earth in these days. He is not coming in to obliterate the enemies of God. He is coming in to bring the enemies of God into the story. And we need to be watching for that. That is the move of God that's coming. And this is our great privilege, that we are partnered with a God who longs to show mercy. We are the outworking of the continued mission of Jesus Christ, who longs to show mercy, who longs to invite people into a relationship with him. And we need to be careful that we don't look at this from an Old Testament paradigm and look at the enemies of God through those eyes. We need to put on Tom's Jesus glasses. Thank you, Tom. We need to put on Tom's Jesus glasses and see people through that paradigm. I have not had a cough all week. Can you give me something to suck on? Okay. Thank you. So as we're identifying the movement of God, we need to focus on how it is that God moves. You know, in sports, when somebody is going to be coming up against an opponent, one of the things that they do is they study game films. I'm not super sportsy, but I know this. So they study game films, and they study how it is their opponent moves. They study what the weaknesses are and what the tendencies are and how do they move. There are some athletes, very high-level athletes, that are obsessed. They'll watch game films at halftime, and they'll study them to understand them better. And it's important that we, Scripture says, don't be unaware of the enemy's devices. Don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. But there is a big difference between being ignorant and being obsessed. And so in this season, I think it's really important that if we want to know and be able to identify what it is that God is going to do, that we focus on his game films. That we focus not on all of the activity of the enemy and what it is the enemy's doing and what he's going to do next, and I knew they were going to do that, and that we focus on what is it that God is doing? How does he move? David, don't we all love David? I don't know why, because he was pretty flawed. But do you know what we love about David? He was a man after God's heart. And David had a prayer over and over. He was passionate about studying who God is and God's ways. So Psalm 86:11, he says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Give me an undivided heart that wholly focuses and fears only your name, that only cares about your movement. Teach me your ways." And so I think it's important for us to study the ways of God as we're looking for the move of God that's coming. So we talked about at the beginning of the series that I believe that when we wait upon the Lord, when we put our trust in him, there's three things that happen, and again, there's lots of things that happen, but there's three things that the Lord highlighted to me. When we do that, he meets with us, his presence comes, and we need his presence. He speaks to us, and to me, meeting with us, speaking with us is root work. That's work underneath. Oh my goodness, thank you. Thank you, honey. Everyone's taking such good care of me. Because you don't want to listen to me hack on the microphone. Thanks, babe. Because I'm loved. Thank you. Speaking. Meeting and speaking to us. Last week I talked about how important it is that we know the voice of God. And part of that is because before we can see the movement of God, we need to hear and see what he wants to do. We need to know his heart. Because do you know how many people did not recognize the movement of God when Jesus came? People who had been looking for him and waiting for him their entire lives. It breaks my heart. And it puts something in me that says, I have to know the voice of God. I can't just know about God because I can form my own opinions around what I think that's going to look like. But I have to know the voice of God so that I can recognize it when he's moving. And that's what I feel like we need to do in this time. We can look over, someday we'll look at different patterns of the moves of God. If we look all throughout history, there are some certain things that precede major moves of God, whether we're looking at the Welch Revival or Azusa Street or Jesus People Movement, and there's some things that precede all of them. And part of them is patterns of sustained, hungry prayer. That there's this desire in people. And do you know what else often precedes them that produces the sustained hungry prayer? Disruption. Civil unrest, social disruption, war, economic issues, oppression. Fun stuff. Do you know why I'm so convinced that God's about to move? Because we're experiencing disruption. We're experiencing disruption, not even to the level that a lot of people have seen historically. But this is an opportunity that God likes to take. When there's disruption, he comes in and he moves and he does things that only he can do. And one of the reasons he can do that is because these kinds of disruption shake us loose from anything that we had trusted in besides him. We begin to go, wait, no, I've come to trust in that. This thing that it's always been there and we're founded on it. And yes, all of that's good and right. But there comes a time when we decide, do we trust in God alone? And so here we are experiencing disruption. And I know what God's about to do, not just from historic, but because this is church and we care the most about what the word says, we're going to read an account. We're going to watch a game film of how God moves. So the Church of Acts was in a similar situation. If we look at Acts 8, that's where we're headed, to see how he moves. They were in a similar situation in that, okay, so you know the story, before Jesus left his followers, his disciples, he basically commissioned them and he said, now go and wait. Go in the upper room and wait for me. If you grew up in church, you've probably heard the story. If you grew up in charismatic church, you heard the story a lot about them waiting in the upper room and for the Holy Spirit coming. So he told them to go and wait, and there they were. And then in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes, and the church is birthed, and it bursts out of the upper room into the city. And they're in this time of great growth, and so like Acts chapter 2 through 6 is the church is growing, and it's those chapters I always look at and go, what are we doing wrong? Because they're adding to their numbers daily, and there's signs and wonders and miracles, and people are getting healed, and it's this amazing time. And not only that, they're experiencing this tremendous community as a body. Remember, Jesus said that the mark on the church would be unity. Let's stop and think about that for a minute. Jesus said that the Bible says that signs and wonders will follow those that believe. But he said the thing, Jesus said, that the thing that will show the world that he really was who he says he was unity. We need a move of God. We need a move of God so that the church can exhibit that in this season. And it's coming. So they're experiencing all that. Then in Acts chapter 8, it all comes to a screeching halt because Stephen gets martyred. So it wasn't easy for the believers in Acts chapter 2 through 6. That's about a five-year period, by the way. That helped me a lot when I realized that all those things happened in 5 years, not 5 minutes. But so it wasn't easy, but they were growing, they were thriving, they were building community, and then Stephen gets martyred and all havoc gets wreaked. And Saul takes it on himself. Saul, who would become Paul, because that's what God does now in a New Testament paradigm. He makes the enemies of God the agent of God. That's what we should be praying in. So Saul, who became Paul, is pulling women and children and men out of their homes, and they're imprisoned, and the church gets scattered. But this is why I know that God's about to move. So the church gets scattered. I'm trying to decide how much of this I have time to read. Okay. So this is Stephen's getting stoned. Saul's consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout man carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. They were grieving. They were weeping over what had happened. They were not ready for this disruption. How many of you feel not ready for the disruption that we've had? I was not ready, I have to say. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. This is what God does with disruption. And we're going to miss the move that God wants to have if we don't recognize this. And the reason is that he was able to do this. This is what's kind of cool. So here's what happens in Acts 8:1. Now Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen, and a great time of persecution arose against the church. So here's this disruption that happens. But the reason that God was able to create a movement out of it is because what happened in Acts 8:1 is connected to what happened in Acts 1:8. Don't you like it when God does cool things like that? I didn't even realize that until I wrote the scriptures down today, that 8:1 and 1:8 are connected. And here's what happened in 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The moment of disruption could have meant the end of the church if they were not connected to the mission. The moment that we're having of disruption is not going to cease or halt or hinder the move of God through the church, because we're connected to the mission. We recognize that no matter what's going on around us, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the conditions are, no matter what our freedoms are or our freedoms aren't, that moment can only become a movement, a move of God, because we're connected to the mission, and the mission is still that commission with Jesus to be his witnesses, to make disciples in the outer edges of the earth, in every place that we go. So we need to, as we're watching the game film of God, recognize he's about to move. And I don't want to miss it by being disconnected from the mission. The mission that we're about as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're on a co-mission with him to see disciples made, to see people come to know him. And nothing that's happening right now is going to hinder that. In fact, historically, this kind of disruption plays right into God's hands. Historically, it allows an entire nation of people to feel their need for a Savior, to feel their need to be connected to the Prince of Peace, to feel their need for something bigger than them. The biggest thing in our nation is failing. We need God. The most powerful thing in our nation is failing. Well, guess what? There's something more powerful than that. And so we get to be connected to that move of God. And the result of the disruption that we're experiencing is going to be revival. That's the result of what we're walking through. And we're going to be ready for it. We're going to notice and know what God's doing because we're people who have patterns of being in his presence and hearing his voice. That's about as neat of a little bow that I can put on it today. So here's what I want us to do as we close. I want you to know that there is only one movement that I'm connected to, that I'm committed to, and that is the move of God. And I want us as a body to be committed to that move, that we are committed to the move of God in this day, and that we're connecting the moment that we're in to the mission that he's given us, not just as a big entity, as the bride of Christ, but to each one of us individually. And whatever that means for you in this season, I believe that the Lord's going to speak to you where he wants your focus in the midst of this. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that Jesus modeled for us that he never moved in reaction to darkness. He only ever responded to your voice. So God, we are not moved by the movement of our opponent. We are not moved by what the enemy is doing, by the darkness that we see. We are responding to your voice. And we know that you're about to move. So we partner with you. We ask, God, that you would make us aware of the ways that you're moving, that we would become experts, that we would be like David, that allow that hunger to be cultivated in us, that saying, show me your ways. We only want to know your ways, God. I'm not interested in the ways of men. I'm not interested even really in what the enemy's doing. His game film is really short. He really only has like one move. But God, you are moving on the earth. So we ask that you would connect this moment that we're in our individual lives, whatever the disruption looks like for us, would you connect this moment to the mission that you've given us? And God, that we would participate in, that we would step into the movement of your Spirit in this season, that we wouldn't miss seeing what you're doing. God, we ask that you'd help us to put on our Jesus glasses, that we would see people that way, we would see circumstances that way. And we thank you for the amazing privilege that we have, that you've called us to this. You've called us and commissioned us. We want to do what you want us to do. We want to walk in the fruitfulness you want us to walk in. And we know that part of that comes out of pressing into you. So God, we just, again, commit to doing the root work that we need to do to come into maturity so that we can sustain our role in the move of God that you're bringing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.